Welcome to Here's What You Do,
an advice podcast from an optimist,
a pessimist,
and a nihilist
who managed to start a company together.
And even that decision took a few years.
I'm Steven. I've been called an optimist, but I prefer passionate.
Gross.
I'm Ryan. I've been called a pessimist, but I prefer pragmatic.
And I'm Shane. I've been called a nihilist, but I prefer existentially grounded. As always, we're going to answer three questions submitted by you.
Today's topics are email signatures, meat, you know, like the food.
Meat.
Yeah.
And then gaming problems.
Why don't I go ahead and read this? It is an email, so from an anonymous person, and I'm going to name them Katharina Catterson says, "Hi guys, who says whilst?
I say whilst.
Sorry, this is very interesting because this advice question is actually referring to the way that you write emails. So whilst I'm working from home, I'm currently sending over even more emails than usual and have always signed off my emails as cheers, as it seems the least aggressive way to end what can often be an aggressive email. Now that Ryan assumes people will think he's an alcoholic if he implements the sign off, you have me overthinking in this pandemic that my colleagues will assume that instead of a tea or coffee in our video meetings that I'm day drinking. Thanks for the new podcast to get me through a lonely workday. Cheers, Katharina Catterson." I don't remember what I named this person. Katharina, I think I said. P.S. Did you know that Outback Steakhouse isn't even a thing in Australia? So it's all lies.
Yeah, that makes sense about the last part.
God, I love Outback Steakhouse. Did we talk about Outback Steakhouse at length in another episode? Is that why this brought up?
Oh, we did. I forgot.
It's a wonderful restaurant. It's really good. I guess that's not what the question's about, huh?
No, Steven, I think this is actually your answer here.
I asked the question, and usually you take it away yourself, but because it's directed at a conversation that was motivated by Ryan, I think you should answer first.
Yeah. Let's see here. As it seems like the least aggressive way to end what could be an aggressive email. Cheers. Yeah, I always go with a solid thanks for an email sign-off, just because no one could get angry at thanks. Everyone likes to be thanked. I guess that is like a common sign-off or expression, you know, around different parts of the world. Probably Australia is one of them. Just like, you know, how people call each other love in England.
It's that happened when Sarah and I went to England last year. We each got a sorry love in the wild from someone on the street. A lady bumped into me and said, "Sorry, love." And Sarah got some dashing Englishman bumped into her and was like, "Sorry about that, love."
Well, you know, it is all you need.
Fucking.
I don't mind it if maybe my brain is broken, which is entirely possible, but I do imagine that person just sipping on a nice cold one every time that I read cheers. And I'll tell you this, it makes me think of them like, that's a cool guy. Maybe I should share a cold one with that person. Maybe, you know what? Maybe I will do business with this person. I could see the flip side, though.
You should add like an animated, well, I don't know why I said animated GIF. You should add a GIF to your emails where when you do sign it with cheers, it's just you.
Yeah, that's chugging, pretty good.
Chugging a brewski.
I mean, unless you're straight edge or something like that, that in which case you could be cheersing with a nice a cup of OJ or something like that.
Or a root beer. Or cream soda.
That too.
Or Pepto-Bismol.
I don't mind somebody.
Or Pepto-Bismol.
That, don't know about that one, no, but I don't mind.
No,
I don't,
that's the, no.
What if you need it, though?
I don't mind people having a good time.
Do people really drink Pepto-Bismol?
Yeah.
They dose Pepto-Bismol. They don't take a sip of it because it's delicious.
Well, when I say cheers, sometimes it's like, oh, we're about to drink this nasty bit of a shot of something together.
Oh, I forgot you went to New York and turned into a maniac.
I didn't turn into a maniac.
Yeah, you did.
No, I turned into a mushroom, a fun guy.
All right. Yeah, I think I enjoy the cheersing. It's a very fun thing. To have that in an email which are inherently not fun, is a fun thing to me. So I don't mind it. But I still will always go with thanks because I just think thanks is better.
Thanks is sort of the go-to. But the other thing is I find myself being very thankful in emails to begin with. It's like, oh, yeah. thanks for responding. Thanks for being so quick. And thanks for putting up with my delayed response. Anyway, could use some feedback on this. Thanks for getting back to this, at your earliest convenience. All right, thanks. So that's why I feel like a thanks at the end of mine would probably be redundant.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to start signing off my emails with a sorry.
Sorry.
Every time. No matter what.
Or you can be an a-hole and do a you're welcome.
Yeah, they're you're welcome. What about sorry and you're welcome?
Sorry / you're welcome / thanks / cheers / JK
that sounds good.
/ love you. Yeah. Ryan.
Good night. I'm going to end them all with good night. Now.
Sweet dreams.
What about sweet dreams?
What about sweet dreams every time?
Sweet dreams is good. That's, you know, I never thought about that. Like when we have email sign-offs, there's only a select few colloquialisms that we have accepted as proper sign-offs.
That's true.
What about kind regards?
Well, now
trying too hard, trying way too hard. What are you, a Hallmark store?
That's me.
Kind regards is nice. You know what? The more, the less formal version of that is a nice best, which almost sounds boastful, but I love a best.
The sign off really is just small talk, essentially, to me. So you could even say stuff like, really coming down lately, isn't it? And then Ryan, right after that, talking about the rain.
Well, I mean, there is the added sort of global situation right now where I found like even the smallest of interactions has always been like, hope you're healthy. Hope you're safe. Hope you're staying safe and sane. Stuff like that. It's fun too.
Ooh, you know what? I'm going to start signing off with a fun fact every time.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
I leave. It's crazy. I'm going to do that.
Do you have any on hand?
Let me think of one.
Okay, hurry up.
Yeah, you know, if you have a... You could push out 12 cans out of a 12-pack if you open both sides of the pack.
Yeah, and just push it into your fridge.
You push it into your fridge. Very easy.
I think that's going to solidify the fact that somebody thinks you are an alcoholic, by the way. You start with that fact and with cheers, and you got yourself a problem.
I don't know. Kangaroos can't jump backwards. There you go. Ryan.
Kangaroos can't jump backwards.
Can they really not?
No.
It's a pretty good fact. You got me there. I'm actually scrolling through my email right now to see emails I've gotten from both of you.
Yeah.
And you guys never write thanks to me.
Well, we're not,
Well, that's, I'm going to just start signing off with the fun facts. You may not want to do business with me, but you'll remember me. You'll be like, oh, you know what? I don't know if I want to do business with that guy, but
I remember
a lot of time unpacking groceries from, by that can trick. Fun facts. I'm going to look at some fun facts here.
We were sort of circling around some fun answer, but I have a real answer for this.
Oh, please. Thank you.
It's, but you really have to commit to it, and you got to know that people might think you're an a-hole, but some people will think you're super cool.
Okay.
You guys ready for this?
I like it. High risk, high reward.
Snakes can help predict earthquakes.
No, not that. Shut up.
Ryan. So good. I'm going to start doing that every email. I don't know why I didn't think of this before.
I love the comma at the end.
Yeah, it's really
comma,
good, right?
Ryan.
It's amazing.
That's pretty good. I was just going to say do the cool thing and just put an X at the end.
Like, that's pretty badass.
X.
It's badass as hell. No, an X, but is a lowercase X.
Is it as
Doesn't
badass
that mean
as
like kisses and hugs?
Banging your head against a wall.
Now people
banging
do it.
You're banging your head against the wall for 1 hour burns 150 calories, comma.
That sounds crazy.
That's badass. Why would you? That's the number one fun fact on factsite.com. Top 100 funny facts. I'm gonna burn 100. I just went on a run the other day for 3 miles, and I burned 200 calories. You're telling me I could have burned almost the same amount by just banging my head against a wall for an hour? I guess I would eventually get CTE. But in the short term, living like a king.
Wait, oh, Ryan, I found some good ones and I want to just fly them past you to see what you think. Like, okay. Thanks, Ryan. Sounds good. Just get back to me when you can. A body decomposes 4 times faster in water than on land. Shane.
It's good, right?
Yeah.
7% of American adults believe that chocolate milk comes from brown cows. Come on, Brian. It's great. It's amazing. Oh, here's another kangaroo one.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Steven, you know what? I'll get you that audio as soon as I can. We'll have that uploaded by the end of the night. If you lift a kangaroo's tail off the ground, it can't hop. Comma, Ryan.
Hmm.
Be pretty tough to get behind a kangaroo, though. They got a lot of lateral speed, if I recall. Like, if you were in the octagon with a kangaroo,
they're very fast.
Footwork is immaculate. It's like Floyd Mayweather in there.
You've seen octagon Kangaroo Jack, like, right?
I haven't seen Kangaroo Jack. That's what Anthony Anderson, right?
Yeah. Mm. I believe it's a documentary.
Did anybody else try and pick up the Kangaroo Jack's tail or try and get behind him?
I don't remember. It's been a long time since.
Well, if they had been email exchanging with me, they would have known that and they'd be alive still.
Yeah, that's true. He's a funny kangaroo in that motion picture, though.
Holy
that's
shit, all bananas really are remember. Curved because they grow towards the sun.
Okay, Steven, what would your sign off be?
I'm trying to imagine, because earlier in this company, I would write a lot of emails to investors.
Yeah.
And what would it look like if Ryan chimed in halfway through a conversation with a kangaroo fact? Would they want to invest?
I think they would. I would be like, I think we have a lot to offer at Watcher. We're trying to make digital series on a platform that otherwise has no series. And I think we've done it before in the past. Also, King Henry VII or King Henry VIII slept with a gigantic axe beside him. Come Orion. Now you're interested about history and you realize this is a fun guy who could probably make fun content.
You also seem like a very learned man, you know, and which is, you know, impressive, especially if you're trying to go into business with someone or wanting to do business with them. It's like, well, look, this guy seems to know a lot.
Yeah,
I think one that is even a scenario like where I would probably jump in and be like, oh, ha, 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 that's my crazy co-founder. You know, he's a funny guy. Anyway, let's talk about the business deal that we're trying to make here.
It's surely a conversation starter.
Well, no, it should be a conversation ender, Ryan.
That's true, for the next time you have an email with them, they'll talk to you about that great fact. If I say heart attacks are more likely to happen on a Monday, you're now thinking, holy shit, maybe we should not have any conference calls on a Monday. You know what? Let's not go to work on a Monday. Let's institute a 4-day work week. And now everyone's interesting. Happy.
This kind of conversation is something that I personally would not participate, like, not that I would not do this. Mm-hmm. But I wish that we had like 9 lives so I could experiment with a few of them to see if this worked. Like, if you spent your entire life sending off email signatures with facts, does that actually put you ahead in life or does that make you the weird condescending dude?
Well, I was gonna say it would make you memorable, but now everyone is going to do this because they've heard me say it. And now I'm not going to be, I'm going to be ordinary again.
I looked up just more facts and this site has a bunch, but whereas before they were like these really like fun bite-sized facts, these are very wordy. And now I'm imagining Ryan signing off with this. I'm going to send Ryan this and ask him to read it as if he's wrapping out an email.
Oh, I can't wait. Okay, and that'll be the way that we end the segment.
Yeah, that'll be
By the way, my advice is, I don't really have much. I just wanted to bring it up. You should leave off email messages however you want. Add some personality. Make some fun out of it. If it's give facts like Ryan and Shane, then do that. But for me, I like to just keep it chill. Use a thanks or a cheers or you're fine. Nobody's going to think you're an alcoholic. Say that.
Ryan, Ryan, I sent you the sign off. I just want you to proceed it with, sounds good. Let's chat about it Monday.
Did you send it to me on Slack, Shane?
I sent it to you on Slack.
Oh, I can't wait for this.
Cool. Okay, sounds good. Let's chat about it Monday. Have you ever thought about how whales and dolphins die? When they get too old and weak to swim to the surface to breathe, they start sinking into the cold, dark depths of the ocean and suffocate. Ryan.
No!
It's pretty good, right? I think it's pretty good.
No!
Ryan. Like, especially the emotionless Ryan at the end.
Yeah, it's really good.
No.
Really sells home that it was, in fact, a fun fact that I just said. Not a bleak one. And if you think it's bleak, you're not fun. So.
I'm a big fan. Good. Okay, so that, I think, is the answer to this one. I think Ryan has nailed it. And I'm happy to admit when Ryan is the clear winner here. Not that this is a competition. But... that's the best advice you're going to get.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's worth the price of admission, and this is a free podcast, so.
That does it for that question. Before we hit another juicy cue, let's take a little break to hear a little word from our sponsors. Yum. Yum, yum, yum.
Yum. Good stuff.
That's the best great stuff out there. You can't get that stuff anywhere else, and you just do, give them a check it out. Subscribe, buy it, put in the promo code, help us out.
Cool.
Okay. Next question comes from, who's going to read this one? Shane?
I'll read this one. I selected this one. I'd love to read it. This is from email.
Yes.
So this one would be anonymous then.
Okay.
Yep.
This is from Bangler Slimborn. It says, hey there, guys. Gonna start with this. I don't really like meat at all. Mm. Hamburgers and cheeseburgers, any breaded meat, those are usually fine. So already contradicting a little bit here.
Yeah.
But with 99% of meat, it's a mixture of the texture and the fact that it just doesn't taste good to me. It's been this way since I was a child. The thing is, people get weirdly insulted and slightly offended when I say I don't like to eat meat. After years of this, I just started lying, and now I tell people I'm a vegetarian because they're fine with me choosing to not eat meat for moral reasons or whatever they assume. But if it's because the meat tastes bad to me, they suddenly are up in arms. Should I keep up this lie and just live my life as a vegetarian, only eating cheeseburgers or chicken strips in secret so I can eat without having to play 20 questions? Why is me not liking the taste of meat, therefore choosing not to eat it and getting most of my protein from other sources so offensive to other people? I mean, my dad doesn't like fruit, but no one gives him a hard time about not eating apples. 2% carnivore.
You forgot the name.
Bangles. I can't remember. Bangles? Bangles. Well, this is a curious one. Because, you know, they start out saying, I don't like meat.
Hold on. What? Just got to pause. Because this is a podcast and we all just heard from Ryan.
Oh, yeah. What did you
and
do
we
there,
just
Ryan?
Have to acknowledge it.
I bumped my microphone with my knuckles.
With your knuckles, so. And then the noise that came out of your mouth was...
Yeah.
Okay. That was Ryan. Just want to say, that was Ryan. That was not a small child in the next door over.
Well, I think there is a small child that lives inside me.
What? Okay. So, stop smiling. Jesus
Christ. That's a great promo for the YouTube version of this show, by the way. Check us out.
It is.
Watch your pods. Yeah.
That was all for you video viewers. Everybody who is listening, you did not get the pleasure of looking at this radiant child
very
smile that I just
smile.
Gave towards the camera. So I apologize for that. But if you'd like to look at it, I could hit you with the time code on Twitter if you want to go and check that out.
Here's what I think about this, is that this person needs to make up their mind. I think people are naturally curious when it comes to people's dietary choices. And if you're a vegetarian, sometimes I have questions about that. If someone's like a vegetarian, but they're like, I'm a vegetarian, but I love pepperoni. I'm like, yeah, I get that. Mm. You know, but is there like, what are your reasons for being vegetarian then? Like, I do want to get to the root of it. It sounds like you might be hanging out with people who have too many questions. I think you really just need to have some sort of pre-recorded answer for people and just be ready to rattle it off. And if they keep on pressing you, just repeat it. Just repeat it like a pull string toy. and live your life. I don't think you should be eating burgers in secret. That's not healthy. Because
the burger part or the secret part?
I guess, well, frankly, both. Burgers are bad for you.
Burgers are delicious, though.
They're I do love burgers. I've phased burgers out quite a bit. I have a burger like once every 2 to 4 months, and I love it.
But one likes a bragger.
I'm not bragging. Because I eat a lot of other things. You know, I eat a lot of turkey. I'm a big turkey head. You know I love popcorn. That's not healthy. I don't know. What do you guys think?
If Shane is done flexing here, then we could maybe move on to what other people think about
this. I'm not flexing. I eat.
A spiderling, Ryan.
Unbelievable. It's just weird. It's a weird predicament. I mean, if you are committing to this lifestyle of being a vegetarian except for eating burgers and chicken fingers, people are going to have questions. And it's a tough road to hoe. And you got to commit to it and be prepared for some tough questions. That's just the way it goes. If you're going to be a iconoclast, you really got to own it. And owning it means just getting ready to defend your position.
Or just resolving to the idea that you don't care what people think about it.
That's true too.
If your lifestyle is that's what makes you happy, then who gives a shit what your reasons are? I will say this, at least she's not one of those militant vegetarians or vegans who kind of like make people who eat meat feel bad about themselves.
Can't be doing like, that, yeah.
That I appreciate that, you know? It's also a really funny quandary that you are accidentally, just because of your personal tastes, doing something that's morally better for the planet.
Yeah.
And you're not doing it for those moral reasons. You're doing it like, I don't know, I don't like the taste of meat. It's kind of gross. You're like one of the
few vegetarians on earth. What if she's just eating chicken fingers all the time, though?
I love chicken fingers, man.
Chicken fingers are fucking delicious. So chicken fingers by a pool? Holy shit.
Whoa.
Does it get better than that combo?
No.
Chicken fingers, fries, pool, summer day, maybe Ryan, some lemonade, now beer.
Oh, you know what? You know what you can do? You can pivot the conversation. This is actually not bad. You should, like Ryan says, I think, like, it sounds like you're affected by people asking you these questions. Stop giving a shit, first of all. Mm-hmm. But if you really, if they're persistent and won't leave you alone about it, pivot the convo. Pivot the convo to talking about dips. Well, because I just realized when you were talking about chicken fingers just there, like my first impulse was to excitedly talk about our favorite dips. And frankly, this would make a very good episode of Top 5. But if you get someone talking about and you're like, and they're like, well, why don't you like a pork chop? And you could say, I don't know. It's just my own. Hey, by the way, you like chicken fingers. I like chicken fingers. What's your favorite dips?
Yeah, that's true. That's a good pivot.
Because you get people talking about dips, they don't stop.
It's good.
This is good. I'm getting really hungry. Can I give my advice?
Yeah, no, but first, what's your top dips?
Top dip.
Top dip.
What do I
eat? Well, no, I could give you my number one, the top dog.
It's got to be ranch. Yeah.
It's ranch.
Yeah. Ranch?
What are the top five dips of all time? Ranch. Because it's
number one.
Are
you so Midwest?
That's a Chappelle show reference, Steven. Come on now.
Ranch.
Oh, I don't know it. I don't know the reference.
What's almost as good as ranch? I've never liked barbecue sauce as a dip.
You don't like spicy mayo?
I like a spicy mayo. I like it
sometimes, but it's not top.
That's top for sure.
Disagree.
Well,
an aioli.
Aioli's good too. Aioli, yes. I will say garlic the thing, these, aioli. You can make the argument that aioli or spicy mayo are the most optimal combination with a particular food. However, if you're looking for the sauce that has the most versatility across the board,
it's ranch.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be ranch. Wins.
Can you eat ranch on a hot dog?
Yes.
Can. I haven't in recent memory, but just imagining it right now, I want to scream.
Let me just rattle off the top of my head items that you could improve with ranch.
Names, yes, go.
Pizza.
Yes.
Burgers.
Uh-huh.
Chicken fingers.
Absolutely.
Fries.
Yes.
Salad. Salad. Oh. What food can you amplify pizza and salad with the same condiment? That condiment is like a superhero. It might as well be, it might as well be wearing a cape. It's insane.
Ranch is good as hell.
What about cereal?
Okay, get out of here with this. Of course.
I'm just trying to find out how far you're going to go.
Well, cereal's a sweets. We're talking savories, dude.
It's also nonsensical what you just said. What, are you going to put spicy mayo in cereal? That was your condiment.
You put ketchup in your cereal,
I didn't say that it was versatile. I'm just saying you think you can improve a lot of things with ranch, but not your cholesterol.
Yes, okay, but say the same
thing.
Boom. No, but think about this.
A lot of things.
Cholesterol, we're not factoring into this because no dip is doing wonders for your circulatory system.
Spicy mayo?
But think of this.
I didn't say it was good for me.
Ketchup, very good on a hot dog. Ketchup, very good on fries. Ketchup on pizza? I don't think so.
Yeah, it's weird.
Have you ever heard of tomato sauce?
That's, too much tomato.
I have. It's not
that's
ketchup.
That's pre-ketchup.
Yes, but it's not. That's like saying, well, like pizza and raw flour are the same thing.
It's pre-ketchup.
Well, it's interesting, though. Normally, when you make an argument for your condiment, like your spicy mayo here, you will back it up with arguments that also apply to yours. Like you're saying, like, oh, it's not healthy, meaning your thing would be healthy. Or it's you can't use it in cereal, meaning your thing you couldn't use in cereal. So your arguments are going against your thing.
I'm just trying to dismantle your argument.
By dismantling yours, though, it's an odd strategy.
It's because I don't agree with the premise of your argument. You got to have me on top five back on that show.
For
your
dips?
Takes are hot garbage.
I'd love to talk dips.
Yeah, I mean, you would get dismantled trying to putting spicy mayo in the number one slot.
Yeah.
Oh, for Steven sure. Lim-
what do you got?
I recently watched the classic film High School Musical. It reminds me very much of what happened in that movie, where the kids in there are like, "You're not meant to be an artist. You're a basketball dude." But truly, the person, you know, Zac Efron plays in the film is both a singer and a basketball player. And it's weird to the students in the school. And they even have a nice little song that they sing about how you can't be outside the status quo. But I mean, if you want some inspiration, watch that movie. You can be a multifaceted human being. And it's actually what makes you interesting. And so, you know, I actually think it's kind of cool that you don't like meat, but like cheeseburgers and hamburgers, even though it's very confusing. And
it is a little confusing. Well, she doesn't say that she likes them. She says those are usually fine, as in like, I'll eat it if it's there, if you have a gun to my head.
Oh, I see. I thought she was liking them.
No, she says usually fine.
Because down below, she says that she's eating it in secret. So that made me think that she was like chowing down on them.
If she's eating them in secret, then she does like them. Because
that's true. Yeah.
Because you wouldn't have to eat them you wouldn't be eating them in secret unless you really, really liked them.
I spent better half of my life being the weird person in the room. I mean, just the fact that I grew up as an Asian American in a place where I was the only. Okay, fine. I've spent the better two halves of my life being the weird person in the room, including this conversation. But you know what? I believe in myself and my valid arguments, and I don't want to be like Ryan and Shane. First of all, that sounds disgusting.
I respect
that. No, yeah, we should all just
try. And it's what makes
ourselves
me interesting. So I would say, you know, if I were you, I would take pride in something as weird as this, and that's your little thing.
At a certain point in your life, you learn. And I don't know if everybody arrives at this, but there were a lot of things in my life that I was probably like not as confident in, or like weird little quirks about myself. But as you grow up, you realize like, well, that's me. And I guess I got to own it and learn that, just accept that if I ever really want to, like, you can't just change yourself. No one's ever going to be happy with who you are fully.
No. So, you know, I will say, though, and this is just a little devil's advocate here.
Sure.
Is there not a strong sense of identity with being a vegetarian or a vegan? Like a lot of them, some people do it for environmental reasons. Uh-huh. So if you like, let's say we're at like a vegetarian conference, like a gathering, and everyone's talking mm-hmm. about like why it's so great what we're doing for the planet and blah blah blah. I shouldn't say blah blah blah, but you know what I mean. We're at this conference, and then we have whatever name Shane gave to this person,
Bangler,
sneaking hamburgers, eating hamburgers under the table, and claiming she's a vegetarian. Like that's
pretty cool.
You're kind of pretty you cool. are lying there. So it's like it is an interesting. But I don't think she should ever say. Here's where she's wrong, though. I don't think she should lie and say she's a vegetarian. I think she should not. She should just say, "I don't really like any meat except cheeseburgers and chicken tenders." Because if someone said that to me, I'd be like, "Yeah, that's fair. Those are both delicious things."
I mean, yeah, you can also just rephrase it as like, "I'm kind of a picky eater. I like a lot of veggies. You know, I'll fuck with a hamburger. I'll fuck with some chicken fingies. But outside of that, I don't know."
Yeah, I think that's where I think I've turned the corner here. I don't think you should lie and say you're a vegetarian. I think that's wrong. I do think you should say, I really don't like meat except cheeseburgers or chicken tenders. That's fine.
I mean, but you can also, I think part of it comes with like the intensity with which you're like, if you're just blasé about it, I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I like burgers, chicken fingers. And then other than that, I mostly eat veggies. Easy. Look, there you are. Yeah, you've done it.
Also, no one's going to freak out. When you say
it sounds like people are freaking out, but people tend
well, those
to get,
people are weird then.
Yeah, people get all like pent up around like
that's what I mean. Have you seen High School Musical?
No, I haven't.
It's the whole premise of the movie, so watch that.
Well, but I also like I think I've felt that before because like in a similar vein when like. I'm trying to think. Here's a good example. I know Sarah, my girlfriend, made a big effort for us to use less like single-use plastics. So we try to, and I remember when she started doing it, I was like, it was like a change to our life. And I was like, oh, we got to do all this extra work of like bringing stuff to the store and stuff. I was like, who, why would this make a huge difference? This doesn't matter that much. And then after a while, I was like, well, I was just like cranky because it was like a different way of life. And I felt like not offended, but I was like, am I a monster? And I can see people who eat meat like me. Some people are very, very fragile about it if you're like a vegetarian because they're like, oh, well, what? What's wrong with me for eating meat? Even if you're not that aggressive about it. I don't know what my point was here.
I guess it's when you get militant about your beliefs.
Yeah.
Is then when you get into trouble.
Certain beliefs you can be. And look, if you want to be militant about vegetarians, like, and being a vegetarian, fuck it. Go for it.
Go for it. But you know can't what? Get angry when people are like, no.
Yeah.
No.
Like, if you're going to be militant about it, people are going to probably be aggressive back toward you. But frankly, the world would be better off if everyone was a vegetarian.
Oh, absolutely.
But I love meat, I'll continue to eat it.
I love chicken. I love burgers. I love hot dogs. Mm. Mm.
What are we talking about, guys?
Meat. Next question.
Oh, yeah. This is my question here. This is my question. Did I tell you this is my question?
Yo, take it away.
This comes from Patreon. This comes from Adrian.
I'm picking up what you're putting down. Oh, Adrian. Hey, yo, Adrian. I've never seen Rocky.
Here's what you do. Hi, my name is
Adrian.
Wait, this person said, here's what you do so many times. Here's what you do. My question is, what do you guys do to combat some form of addiction? I played games a lot. I played FIFA, 2K, and all kinds of sports games, and I feel I'm not productive enough. Any ways to stop this gaming craze that I have? Thank you at 1 a.m. from Indonesia.
Games,
look, all
baby.
Those are great titles that you're talking about. For a long time, I was very much only on the sports game wagon just because it's more, I like the competition aspect of it. Also, I like that usually when I'm playing a sports game, I'm playing against one of my buddies. I find it very hard to sit down and play one player games, like a story driven game. Like there's exceptions, obviously, like Red Dead.
Did you ever finish that?
I did finish that. What an ending. to the original Red Dead. I still haven't opened my Red Dead Redemption 2.
It's incredible.
I got to do that. It's just, I, like this person, feel very guilty when I play a game by myself and there's no element of another human playing it with me. And this is now where it gets into dangerous territory. I recently downloaded Call of Duty Warzone and Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
I did download first off. I downloaded it for you.
Oh wow, that's so much. We're gonna have so much fun. It's like amazing. This is okay. Anyways, we'll talk about that after. But it's a great game. It's a game of the moment, and it is where before I would never really like playing games by myself. I have now discovered online gaming, and I gotta tell you, very addicting. If you need a witness, I could call my girlfriend in here, and she'll be the first to tell you. Played a lot of Call of Duty.
Does it have something to do with the quarantine? I don't know where we're going to be at when this episode releases. I suspect we will still be in some phase of quarantine, but...
Yeah.
Do you think it's filling the social void a little bit?
No, because this is actually my legit first interaction with online gaming. So I think that if I had discovered this before the quarantine or after, it wouldn't have mattered because it's just... The idea that I could play with people from all around the world and also do it while playing with my buds is
play
very, very fun.
Play Mortal Kombat with a friend in Vietnam.
Cable guy. Very good.
A very prescient film.
Yeah. How many people got that reference immediately?
I was surprised you got it. I was very pleased.
It's a great film.
I did not get it for the all the listeners out there who relate to my perspective.
Who's tallying this?
you're like Captain America in the first Avengers, just references flying over your head left and right. And the one day you do get it, you're actually going to say, I actually understand that reference.
Wait, yeah. Stephen Lim is...
2040.
Stephen Lim is the Steve Rogers of the Watcher gang, I think, right?
I think he is. That's a fun question. Which Avenger would we be?
It's a good question. I'm definitely not prepared to answer this question. Because I fell asleep watching Endgame.
You fell asleep during Endgame? That is one of the most exciting films of the past decade in theaters?
I was jet lagged. I flew to Malaysia. I flew to Malaysia and I was super tired because it's a long flight and you got to take what is it called? I can't even remember what the terms for like flying are. You take a pit stop.
Plane. Oh.
No. What is it? A layover in Taiwan. So the whole trip is 24 hours. It's crazy. Anyway, I get there and my friends are like, let's watch Endgame. It just came out and we can watch it before America. And I was like, guys, I'm so tired. I'm not going to be able to make it through. Fell asleep in the first 10 minutes. Woke up. Halfway, can I spoil it on this podcast? Yes, right.
Endgame spoilers incoming.
Incoming.
Should see the film though. Just fast forward 20 seconds.
And I was like, how in the world are they in a different time right now? And then I went back to sleep and I woke up and I was like, why is this person alive? And then I went back to sleep and I woke up and I was like, oh my God, this is the battle scene that I flew all the way out here for. I don't understand anything going on, but whatever. Stayed up to the end, saw the place where somebody passes away. And great film.
Man, that battle scene with the stakes built up from the entire film is so good. Because as a standalone scene, it's still fantastic. This isn't a movie podcast, but Jesus Christ, I could be driving a big rig for 48 hours straight. And if I walked into the midnight screening of Endgame, I'm wide awake that entire screening. That was, to this day, I think it may have dethroned The Dark Knight as my favorite midnight screening experience I've ever been to.
I think mine is still The Dark Knight.
That theater was insane. Crowd. It's all dependent on your crowd. I saw it at Grauman's Chinese Theater and people were high-fiving each other in the theater. Like it was a sporting event. It was like my girlfriend and I were like hugging. It was crazy. What an experience. People were screaming and clapping.
It was energizing in Malaysia as well. It's just, I couldn't do it. I had flown for too long.
If this is a huge ask, if there's anybody who happened to go to that screening and you may have snapped a picture of a person sleeping, check your phone again. Make sure it's not Stephen Lim. If it is, please send me that photo. I'd like to get it framed because that's bonkers to me. I've thought long and hard about it. I can't decide who's Stark and who's Banner between Shane and I.
Banner?
Because we both have aspects of both of them. You know?
Can I be Dr. Steve? No, I'm probably not Dr. Stephen Strange.
I could see you look the most like him.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a tough call. I'd actually be curious if people chime in on Twitter which Avenger the three of us are. Obviously, Stephen Lim is Captain America. I mean, that's a no-brainer.
Ryan, can't you be... What if I'm Stark and you're fucking...
Banner, right?
No, I was going to say... Peter Quill.
Oh, Star-Lord?
You're kind of a Peter Quill guy.
I guess I could see that. There is parts of me that are kind of ditzy at points, too. Anyways... Regardless, that's something for you guys to chime in on the comments and
Are you not Thanos, Ryan?
Yeah, Ryan is Thanos.
Why the? If you think I'm Thanos, then that's a high compliment. That'd be great.
Is it a compliment?
You want to be a genocidal maniac?
Yeah.
Thanks for the high praise.
That's awesome, man. He's a badass. Anyways,
I made the reference because your stubbornness levels to that of Thanos.
I think it would be closer to Stark than it would be Thanos. That's why there's parts of me that are like Stark, but there's also parts of me that are like Banner. You're the only one of all three of us that completely fits one of the characters.
Yeah.
Going back to this gaming question.
Yeah, let's get to that, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I think it just comes in moderation. You actually have to police yourself. Because I just was feeling bad about myself, like gaming that much. It's a nice escape. Like my brain is very active. So I find that when I play Call of Duty, it's one of the few times when I completely zone out and forget about everything except that moment. It's one of the few times I'm truly in the moment. Because sometimes even in movies nowadays, I'm so stressed lately that I find my mind drifting during a movie even, or when I go to Disneyland. But gaming, Call of Duty is such a fast-paced game. You have no choice but to be completely immersed, similar to Smash Bros. And that became kind of a crutch, so I did have to kind of police myself and just limit it to like, okay, I'll only play like 3 days a week. And when I play those 3 days, I'm going to make them count. You may have to just set some guidelines for yourself.
I actually haven't played a ton of online games. I played Minecraft a lot back in the day, but I don't, when it comes to, obviously I don't play a lot of sports games. I played GTA a lot for a while. Other than that, I get very anxious when I play online with real people because everyone's always so much better than me.
That's why Warzone's fun. You can play as a team, man.
I do. Look, I like the sound of that and we'll figure that out and get it going. But, just in terms of figuring out how to combat this general addiction, I think the best thing you could maybe do is, well, one, you're aware of it, which is great. That's a good step because you're clearly looking to address it somehow. One thing you can do is try to set a nice little schedule for yourself, you know, get a little egg timer. Oh, I'm going to play FIFA for 2 hours. So that's how English kids say it, I think. FIFA.
FIFA.
It's tough. I mean, self-control is exactly that. You need to want to control yourself. Sometimes you got to really find ways to trick yourself into not doing that. Here's an example. You could get a job. You could get another part-time job that fills up more of your time.
I don't know about that.
You could. Or start going on walks. Lock yourself out of the house.
That makes sense too, I guess.
I don't know. Start working out instead. Find something else to fill the void. It's a dopamine thing. Your body is like responding to... Because for me, it was always like routine. I like falling into a routine. And if that routine includes like playing a video game for a long time, then that's part of my routine. And I find that comfortable. And anything outside of that routine is stressful. But if you make your routine something else, after like a month or so, it'll feel more natural. So just try and plug some of the holes with, I don't know, start doing them push-ups, baby.
It is a bit dangerous though to just distract from your vice with another vice, I would say.
Well, but yeah, like a constructive vice, one that is, or a hobby.
Sure.
Say. Because like, but it's, say your vice is learning the piano. Well, then that's a wonderful thing. It's certainly if you play the piano for 500 hours versus playing FIFA for 500 hours, you've got a little bit more to show for it other than your online trophy case. What's the deal with the online trophy cases?
But here's the thing, though, like that piano thing, stupid. Like some people may not think that's as valuable as being top dog in Call of Duty. The point I'm getting at is I have a somewhat addictive mind, and
yeah.
An addictive mind could turn even a positive vice into a negative one when it goes overboard. So for example, distracting yourself with exercising, you could go super overboard with that and become
one of those like
human
balloons. Yeah.
Yeah. You could be a guy with no neck looking like a buff Franklin the turtle. It's not a good look. The thing is, instead of distracting yourself, you just have to learn how to practice moderation in everything you do maybe. And that's the harder thing to do.
Yeah, I agree with Ryan more on... Oh, I actually agree with both of you guys, because I do think that what you're saying about filling in with other stuff is helpful. I would say of the three of us, I think I have the most addictive personality. And Ryan, I think you can attest to this based on my Smash video gaming habits.
That's
after
true. That is true.
That one time that you beat me, about 50% of the time, I went home, found people who had Switches, played a bunch, watched as many videos as I could, and came back to Ryan and destroyed him after a bunch of hard work over the span of 2 weeks. Yeesh. And right now, I'm addicted to something else. I'm not going to say what it is.
Okay. Well, I'll say what it is.
What?
Online poker. I'm loving this.
That's actually concerning.
That's even worse.
Well, it's with friends, and I only play with friends. That's my rule, by the way. I make rules for myself. That's how I do it. Like, yeah. I never actually bought a Switch, even though I was addicted to Smash. I would actually force myself to play it only if I was playing with somebody else, because then I could say, at least I'm socializing. Same thing with poker. Oh. I'm only playing it with friends because at least I'm socializing, and the cost of entry, which is like $20, is actually the cost of admittance for a night of fun.
Can you make money in online poker, or is it just a...
Yeah, I'm actually currently illegal, down like $40. Right? No, we
this
just play
makes
with
sense
friends.
Now, because
no,
the other
legal.
Day, Steven butt dialed me, and all I heard him was, he was just screaming, "What are the big blinds? What are the big blinds?" I had no idea what he was talking about.
This did not happen.
Now it all makes sense.
I don't know, is like professional like televised poker still a thing?
It is.
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah,
I'm imagining Steven, remember that guy who would always wear those glasses?
Snake
with
eyes.
The holographic
snake eyes, exactly. I was thinking of the exact same thing. You're thinking of Dan Majero, whatever the hell his name is?
Yeah, whatever.
Here's the thing. I suck at poker right now. And the thing that drives me the craziest is being bad at something. So I'm like...
I know that.
In the process of getting better, doing all the research I can. But I've actually cut myself off. And kind of like what Shane was saying, I've decided to replace that habit with other things. So I started playing a different board game called Go. It's been fun just to diversify my experiences. I did take a walk, like what Shane was saying.
Knives out.
I think
or buy a nice camera and try to get some nice shots out there, you know?
But the point is that whatever you distract yourself with is going to become the next thing if you don't.
There's inherent value to. And I know you said like, well, what if someone's more impressed by the fact that you won more games in FIFA? Cool. That's like a tiny portion of society. more
is
people.
Is it?
Yes. If, like, if you're an accomplished pianist, people are going to be like, wow, that's really impressive. Versus like,
I think you're mistaking
Fortnite
for worldwide. I think like there's a fair amount of people. There's esports are huge. They're like, yeah, I actually, I don't know what you're talking about.
No. Yeah, I agree. If somebody was saying like they're really good at FIFA, I'd be impressed. I'd be like, play me right now.
Yeah, if someone was like, I'm the best FIFA player in the world, I make $1 million a year playing FIFA, which is
well, look, if you're going to make $1 million a year, then great. If you're on the road to that, but I feel like at that point, you have to like quit your job and really commit to it. If that's your plan, then go for it. But if you're not going to make $1 million a year, then quit.
Then learn how to play Bohemian Rhapsody on the piano obsessively.
That's the answer.
The thing is, the point I'm getting is like, it's okay to have like multiple hobbies or vices or whatever you want to call them. But if your solution is just to switch to the next vice or the next hobby and never learn the moderation of the ones that already exist, you're always going to run into the same problem, which is something that I figured out.
What I was saying is like, fill your schedule with other things, not one thing, but like, you know, several things.
Sounds exhausting.
It's moderation. It's exactly what you were talking about.
No, but moderation could also be like, all right, I'm just going to rest now.
Okay. Just take naps.
You can go to sleep early.
Not gonna sleep 16 hours a day.
I've done this before. You do kind of have to cut yourself off at some point, and maybe just take like a week or two or three or 4 weeks to just say like, I am not touching any video games for this period of time. Because if it's a problem, if it's an addiction, you do need to get it addressed immediately.
Abstaining from it for like a month, if you should challenge yourself to try to do that, because that will in a sense reset like whatever dopamine button you've got in you that is like, I need to play video games.
It is interesting too, like one last thing about this, about how addiction does take so many different forms. There's no bad ones we know about, but even hearing Steven talk about poker is interesting, because he said something about poker that most people say about like drugs or like cigarettes. Like if I could tell you the number of times I've heard someone say at a bar, I don't smoke cigarettes, I only smoke them socially. Like I smoke them only when like I'm at a party. I'd be a millionaire right now, just because that's just something someone says when they know it's a problem. You know, it's like a...
Wait, so no.
Gambling is also like a huge issue.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Steven was talking about gambling the same way. Like,
okay,
you were
first
saying,
of all,
I only do it socially.
Steven is a burgeoning Topher Grace over here.
I'm going to add context to what I said so that there's no confusion on what I said earlier. Okay. Me and a group of friends that I know, all of them will play poker together online. It's fun. And we don't play on like PokerStars or all the other sites. We just play within our own group, and we each have a buy-in of what, say like $20. The buy-in is the price of admittance for fun for that evening. I am not somebody who's like, I'm gonna win $1 million on this, like on my friends. Like,
you're not down at the riverboat.
I'm here to socialize and have fun. I would not compare this to smoking socially. I would compare this to like playing Smash or other video games socially.
I guess what I was trying to say, and it may not have come off the way I was trying to say it, is that when you say something like, I'm going to only smoke socially, I'm only going to gamble socially, I'm only going to drink socially, it's your version of moderation because you know how your brain works. For me, like I said, I have a somewhat addictive personality, so I do only pour myself a glass of whiskey if it's a social situation. I've never been a kind of guy who will, you know, have myself a cold one if I'm by myself. I find no value in that. Also, I feel like it would start a bad habit, and that's what I was seeing your poker comment as.
Mm-hmm. One more thing, by the way, for me, as an addictive person, I actually refuse to take up some certain hobbies because I know I will get addicted.
What are the hobbies? I'd love to hear this short list.
Jump roping.
Pottery. They mostly refer to video games, actually.
Oh.
No.
Yeah.
Call of Duty?
I love video games. If I start playing Call of Duty, here's the problem. I won't be good at it, but I'll be so mad, I'll just keep working at it until I get good.
That's honestly how I started. I started and I was horrible. And I'm still not that great. I'm like, okay now. But like, I worked hard to get to okay because I was getting tired of just getting pwned over and over again.
That sucks, dude. I'm sorry.
What was that, Shane? What was that, Shane?
I said it sucks, and I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah. But you're better now.
I'm okay now.
By the way, I do want to also clarify, because this is going to be taken out of context, I do not have a gambling problem.
No.
I'm going to reiterate that. I play only on weekends, once or twice a week with my friends, and we actually are on Google Hangout catching up. It's like, you know, getting a drink with your friends. It's not a problem.
We can
let people know out there.
We were having fun.
And now that I've said that, people are going to be like, you obviously have a problem the way that you're saying.
No, dude.
Addiction is obviously a very serious thing.
It is.
And yes. You can only talk about it from your own personal experience. And I will say that from my personal experience, knowing your brain and how it works is a very key component to avoiding the pitfalls of it. And that comes from like knowing when you need to practice moderation.
And there's also, I mean, no one person, there's no cure-all for any of this. And we're not experts. If you are genuinely concerned about it, one, you're aware of it, so that's great. But two, you can always, you know, there's people out there who could help you. Some people video game to a debilitating degree. So just go chat it out, get into a therapist.
Not everyone's going to be ninja.
That's right.
Seems pretty sweet, though. Seems pretty sweet.
Anyway, everything in moderation. And if
Agreed.
You've gone past that line, then there are probably people out there who can help you.
That's true.
I think we nailed it, guys.
That was good.
I hope so.
What a journey we've been on. So many great questions today, and even better answers if you ask me.
Yeah. Also, before we leave, though, make sure you rate and subscribe to the podcast. Please rate it 5 stars if you believed it was a 5-star experience. If you didn't, just don't rate it.
No, rate it.
Tell your friends.
I want that feedback. I
want
do.
It.
No.
Somebody gave it 1 star and it was taken away. So now we have no more 1 stars.
Look, the other thing, if you're going to rate it 1 star, write a review. Let us know.
Yeah.
Get your money's worth.
Yeah.
You know?
Agreed.
As always, if you would like to submit questions for future episodes, email us at hwydpod@gmail.com or swing by patreon.com/watcher.
I think we've done a really good thing here. I hope we see you guys next week. A baby octopus is about the size of a flea when it's born. Ryan.
I love it. See you next week, everybody.
Good fact.